The providence of God. The first point is pray with thanksgiving. We'll get to that in a little bit. I did not pick the hymns, though, so God did. Let's pray. Father, indeed we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to gather together without fear of specific persecution. Lord, we thank you for so many things. We even thank you for a bit of melt, and we look forward to spring. We thank you for the snow, and we know where we live, we are not quite out of that yet, but the greater amount of light, a little bit more warmth, some sunshine coming as is forecast this week reminds us of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how you bring life even out of physical death. Father, we're grateful for the fact that we serve a living Savior. We are thankful for salvation that the Lord Jesus has bought at the price, the inestimable price of the blood, the lifeblood of Jesus, that it pleased you to send your Son to love us with that perfection that he gave his lifeblood for us. And Father, we pray that as we are gathered here together today, that our worship would be in spirit and in truth, and that we would just not be reminded of the truth of your word, Father, but that your Spirit would apply it to our hearts and we would receive your word mixed with faith, with belief, and allow your Spirit to grow us to be more like Jesus. And all for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to read our, if you think about our riches and trying to tie this together with this prayer, we need to kind of read our spiritual bank book. Sometimes if you're looking at your finances and all, you want to kind of get an idea of what all is there, and that's a good thing to do. But wow, that's a great thought with this book. This is kind of our spiritual bank book and all that is here. And we want to access, our spiritual riches. In Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14, as we've been going over, some of our blessings in Christ. And specifically, we've taken a look at probably the last 4 weeks at specific, some of the blessings from God our Father, and then some of the specific blessings from God the Son. And then last week, some of the blessings from God, the Holy Spirit as well. Interesting, if you take a look at this, even in your English translations, as well as I believe in the original Greek, all these verses, verses 15 through 23, all comprise one single, rather long sentence. Interesting to think about that. We cannot do them justice here today, for sure. But we will at least start to try to think about them. As I read through them, often I will read through and just ask the Spirit of God to illuminate his word for me, to give me the correct interpretation and the application specific to us, to myself, and to our church. And that is part of what this is about here, actually, as we take a look at this. But I was praying one day last week, and afterwards I began studying this text. And as I was studying it, I looked through it, and it's kind of like, is there anything specifically that's like, I'm really not sure what that means? And frankly, that is many times the case, but not so in this particular passage. Not that I can't learn more and apply more for certain. But as I was praying, and then afterwards began to look at this and began to study it, I put out on all caps, wow, do I have room for growth in effective and fervent prayer? And here is great instruction for us in that regard. So this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers. And may I say, it is a wonderful prayer, not to be legalistic or anything else. It is a wonderful prayer to pray for yourself and for your loved ones. And I will not be sad to tell you, and hopefully not proud to tell you, I've prayed it for you. and want to continue to pray it for all of us. Look at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of what? He says, Paul's saying this, and think about this, and since it is not I don't think the passage is hard to understand. We can kind of gloss over it. Oh, got it. Yep. Oh, yep, got it. So that to me means no. I may be able to regurgitate it verbiage-wise, but how about the life that I'm living? Wherefore, I also, after I heard, what do you hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints? You know, it's a good practice just to pray Scripture back. You want to know that you're praying in God's will? Pray the Scripture back to God. So, Lord, do others hear of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do others hear of my love unto all the saints? Good thing to meditate on. Just reading through Scripture, just like pray it back to the Lord and say just some different things. But before I get to that challenge here, as I read through this, the first thing that popped into my heart and mind was this. Notice here the need to pray for folks who are known to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love to all the saints. Let's make sure to uphold one another in prayer. We don't know what's coming, but God does. I think of the example God has provided, our missionaries, the Walls, Jan and Annette, J-A-N, pronounced Jan. I love to talk with them. They were in our living room, actually your living room now. I remember the last time they were here, and we just had a great time with them. They were here. They love the Lord. They're actually from Holland, is their home country, and in Papua New Guinea and things. If you remember, it is good to know people so you can pray for them instead of just God bless the missionaries. You know that Annette just buried her mom in Holland over the last year, and they were home for that. And then getting back with COVID-19, and now as we pray for them, I often think of even the banking example as not to be crude or legalistic or whatnot, but sometimes we're very good at praying when we're in trouble or have specific needs. But are we good at praying when things are going well? And you think about this, and even with banking, if you invest systematically and disciplined-wise, and not to be weird or anything, but then when there is a need, then you've invested so there's something to withdraw. And as we pray for folks and ask for God's blessing and God's safety and God's comfort as she has buried her mom, and as they've gone back in COVID and they just different things as we get their letters, you never know what God is going to allow in their lives and what needs are going to come up. And what a blessing that we have the technology that as they sent this to me, I could just send them a note and encourage them and say, my wife and I just prayed for you and we will continue to pray for you. Let's make sure to uphold one another in prayer. Again, I'll say that this is a wonderful prayer in our text to pray for ourselves and for others. And so, could I possibly, as the Lord has stepped on my toes, could I possibly challenge you a little bit? I hope you're growing in your prayer life. And I hope you're growing in your prayer life specifically for this local body of believers. Many times when I tell folks that I'm praying for them, they say, I need it. And I'll say, so do I. We all need it. Here's a thought. Do you think you can grow in your prayer life to be more effective and more fervent? I can. I'll answer for myself. Probably there's not one of us here that wouldn't agree and say, yeah, I can grow to be more disciplined, more effective, more fervent. So I get that, and I think that we would all say that. But let me just maybe step on toes with two things. Should we pray for one another? Yes. Now, this is just between you and God, but I hope you'll answer it. February is almost over. Have you prayed for everybody in the church this month or this year? Well, now don't be legalistic. Okay. I put on a monthly prayer calendar. Sometimes I wonder, is that just in vain? And by the way, a monthly prayer calendar might not be your thing. It's just a tool. I get this vivid picture of the rake in your shed, you know, and the rake coming out of its own accord and beating you up with it. If you don't want to use the rake, throw it out. If you don't want to use the prayer bulletin, throw it out. You know, you don't have to use the prayer bulletin. But if you're not praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ in your local church, be convicted and confess it as sin. And with that in mind, has anyone noticed now, Lord willing, you've just gotten it, because tomorrow begins March. It's just a tool. Don't use it if you've got, you've probably got some other ways that are more effective to pray for everybody in the church. That's fine. And our missionaries and the recaps about them, and there's letters back there. I hope you read them. Ouch, 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 you're beating me up. Will, how about it? Did the walls need our prayers, especially this week? Yeah. Do you know what's coming in your life this week? Do you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ? It is a precious privilege. Prayer. There's a big error in the March calendar. I am offering a prize to the first person who lets me know what it is. And don't look at it now. I'm serious. There's a big error. I looked at it after I printed it off. Like, too late, I printed it off. I'm too cheap to print it off again. So just take that little challenge, little humor, little prize for you if you let me know. First person gets it. All right. It's a Corvette. No, I'm just kidding. It's actually a Mustang. No. Here's another challenge for you. What is the purpose of local church? Well, that's what Ephesians is largely about, is we think about transition with senior pastors and things here. Why are we in Ephesians? Because Ephesians tells us a lot specifically about what the church is about. It's for the perfecting of the saints. Aren't you glad you can become perfect? Well, in heaven we will be, but in the meantime, we're in a growth pattern. Lord willing, for the work of the ministry. Prayer is work, isn't it? It really is. Ephesians 4 talks about that. We're in Ephesians on purpose here as we have a transition between pastors. You can do without a pastor, because pastors come and pastors go, and they die and they go to be with the Lord and all that kind of thing, or they get sick, or they get disabled, or whatnot, they get old. Not me, but Pastor Josh is getting old. We cannot do without the Lord Jesus Christ, without his word, though. The local church is to come alongside us and to help us do what really we are to be doing. So I'll try to say this kindly. How are you doing your prayer life? You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 16:32 that you ought to have midweek prayer meeting. That is not true! But let me ask you something. Why don't you come to prayer meeting? Now, there are some good reasons not to come. Some folks are too old, it's too miserable outside, and that is absolutely legitimate. So if you're providentially hindered, you just have peace about that. Now, some folks are such prayer warriors, and you can ask their children that at home, they are just effective and fervent in their prayer, so they don't need to come to the local church to help them with that. Is that you? Man, did I take my mean pills? I hope not. How about this? Well, we're having it on Zoom, and I don't do technology. Well, if we didn't do technology, we'd be doing it in person, so you'd come and travel out, so you could travel to somebody else's house and maybe get a blessing by being with them. Technology can be good, it can be bad. It can be used for good or bad. COVID. I haven't said a lot about that, but has the church used it as an excuse? Or does it just reveal that we are, I'm not even sure if we're lukewarm. I'm not talking about specifically us, I'm saying the church. Sure, it's more comfortable to stay home and Zoom. That's why in April we'll start back on in-person prayer meetings again. I have been very grateful not to have to, especially since I live so far away now. You know, wintertime's like, batten the hatches, it's 5 o'clock, it's dark, oh, it's snowing, forget it. And there are reasons for that. But folks, I do want to tell you, you do not have to have midweek prayer meeting, and most folks don't. Most churches don't. Does America need prayer? Are you praying for our president? Are you praying for your loved ones? How is your prayer life? This Wednesday, how about purposing to make time to join us for prayer meeting? Oh, don't be a legalist. Okay. As the Lord leads you. There's a reason why a lot of churches don't have prayer meetings, because nobody came. I know it's wintertime, I'm not trying to be ugly. Well, I pray more than others. How about Jesus, sweating great drops of blood, who we're to compare ourselves to? I'm too busy. Really? D.L. Moody was so busy. This is a challenge. I'm challenged, folks. God's preaching to me. If I don't, just me, this doesn't have to be for everybody. If I don't pray very much, very soon after I get up and don't take time to pray, even though I pray later, it just never is effective. the ball starts rolling in things. It just doesn't seem to be as effective. It's just a personal thing with me. And I get it that some of you might start your day on second or third shift, so your day may start. I don't want to be a legalist. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. How about turning around? If my people do not humble themselves, do not pray, do not confess their sins, etc. How is your prayer life? Well, that's more than enough about that. But notice also that the Ephesians were so full of faith in Christ and love for all saints that even Paul, some 850 miles away, had heard about it. You see, we can regurgitate the scripture passage, but wow, as we dig into it, 850 miles away, no texting, no internet. Do you and I trust the Lord that much? That folks think of us and think of our faith in God. How about this one? Do you and I love all the saints that much that others just speak of our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, people cannot see your heart to know if you are really saved, but they can see how you treat other Christians, how you talk about them, how you pray for them. Does our love for other saints reveal that we are Christians? They shall know us by our love. That's scriptural. Those who are genuinely saved grow in their love not just for God, but as we grow in our love for God, we grow in love for God's people, both saved and lost. We have God's love in heart for those that are saved, blood-bought saints, as well as the lost. And so before we go on into the rest of this, the question would be, am I saved? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Do we react to preaching like that, that you won't hear in most, you won't hear much of what we've gone over in Sunday school about the wrath of God, about a holy God, the perfect God, about true biblical love? You won't hear challenges like this about prayer. Just do your best, you're okay. I think our country has been doing its best for a long time, and it stinks. The Ephesians, and we need to know more about our God, not just up here, but here. So number one, pray with thanksgiving. Verse 16 says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It's easy to say, I'll pray for you. Let me challenge you. I wrestle with it. I really do. Sometimes, even in the back, you notice I whip out my phone, write it down, and then forget to look at it. That happens. We're human. I get that. What a blessing. And God has, I've ratted on myself in Sunday school, so I can tell, not to boast, but to praise God from working my life. Often when I say to someone, I'll pray for you, I'll say, could I pray for you? Could I pray with you right now? Let's just do this. Phone call. Sometimes folks come and share things. Could I pray with you about that? You know how many times over 30 years of pastoral ministry I said, could I pray with you about that? Folks have said, no, thank you. Zero. We have not because we ask not or we ask amiss. You notice on this, read our spiritual bank book and access our spiritual riches. They're there. It's Christ. It's the Spirit of God who is in us, who prompts us, who convicts us. Most of it is not the old sledgehammer or baseball bat over the head. Most of it is the still small voice saying, pray. Talk to me. I want to talk to you. So pray with thanksgiving. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul said that he gave thanks for the Ephesians. One of the best ways to show your appreciation for a person is to pray for them. Just as Paul is an example to us here. Not a perfect one. He was a sinner just like you and me. So do you and I pray for others? I mean, really pray for others. Not just God bless the pastor or the missionary or this or other person. Or do we just pray for ourselves? You know, it's great to share things. I have to be careful about digressing. But two things come to mind. I'll share one of them. I have this grandson who played the piano today. And you know what? I know probably most of you didn't know that he was going to play today, but guess what? I prayed for him. I prayed for him today. And you know, I had an opportunity this week to say, I hear you're going to play the piano this Sunday, Lord willing. He said, yes. And he said, I'm very nervous. And I said, do you think Grandpa gets nervous when he leads and preaches? And he said, no. I said, yes. Why is that? Because you're not doing it for yourself or people. You're doing it for God. And that should be the tenor of our whole life, shouldn't it? But I prayed for him today. Now, I know he's my grandson. But you know, as I see, every time I think of Master Club, I really miss that. I miss the children and things. When we have like closing program or recognition or awards or whatnot, I just think of them up here. And as James was playing today, I don't care how technically accurate he is, but my prayer for him as he prayed was that he would have the heart to want to do that every day of his life. Whether he's, how old is he? 8? Can't keep track. Or 9? Or 10? Or 13? Or 14? Day by day, line upon line, drawing close to Christ. Growing in his prayer life. Growing in his knowledge, his intimacy, his service, his desire, his realization over and over again that life is so fleeting that if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, etc., etc. I love working with children. I love working with youth. I love working with people. Pray with thanksgiving. Do you and I pray for others or just for ourselves? Do we know what's going on in other people's lives? Do we know what's going on in our church life? Then pray for understanding. Really neat. Picked up Lance this morning. He talked about understanding. And I said, that's in the message today. Notice here in verses 17 to 23 that we're not going to get through, so don't worry about all that, not that you are. Notice that Paul does not ask God to give us what we do not have, but rather prays that God will reveal to us what we already have. As we're in the way, as we're in the way, may we be aware of the way, the truth, and the life. As we walk, as we sleep, as we sit, as we stand, as, you know, the whole Deuteronomy thing. Read our spiritual bank book and access our spiritual riches. So 2.1 on your handout. Pray to know God. K-N-O-W. Not N-O. Pray to K-N-O-W, God. So many things that God wants us to know. He wants us to have rock solid security about who he is and who we are and where we're going and what we're about. The world doesn't know that. The devil fights against it, and our flesh does as well. Many things come to mind. I'll try to refrain from some of them. But pray to know God and intimacy with God. When we think of intimacy, sometimes we can think, and appropriately so, nakedness. That gets folks' attention. I'm not talking about physical nakedness. God says in Hebrews, all things are naked and open unto him with whom what? We have to do. It is our privilege to do with God. It is our privilege to draw near to God. It is our promise to listen to God. It is our privilege to talk to God, to pray, to ask, to seek, to reverence him, to fear him in the proper way. The fear is used in the Bible. All things are naked and open unto him. And I often think about that. We understand the physical nakedness, and it's like, you know, cover yourself. And that's good. We should be modest. But yet the point is, all things are naked and open. Beyond the physical, the spiritual. Who you are. Often as a pastor, I think, I don't know how much people have been given. I can't say that you should or should not do or whatever. But I do pray that each of us would take the next spiritual step that God would have for us, that we would continue to grow to be more like Christ, that we would not be satisfied with where we are in our spiritual walk, with our witnessing, with our prayer life, with our Bible reading, with our Bible knowledge, with our love, with the fruit of the Spirit of God. Can I grow in more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Yes, 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 all over the place. All things are naked and open to God. God knows if we've been offended about the preacher saying about prayer today or challenging us about that. It's so frustrating sometimes. The coach could say, hey, you know, and the guys, the teenage guys, they'll do whatever he says to work out. But in church, somehow it's like, wow, what in the world? Where does he have the authority to say that to us? Well, it's right here. There's spiritual warfare. Satan, our flesh, and the world is glad to foist all the benefits of physical exercise. Bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness with contentment is great gain, both for now, this life, and the world to come. God knows what's going on in our hearts, in our minds. We're naked, our motives. Why we came to church today? Is it just a legalism? Are we plugged in? Are we here? Are we're here bodily but not here? Not plugged in, whatnot. So pray to know God. Lord, I want to know you. That's that. I want to know you. I want to know you better. How well does God know you? Better than anybody else. Perhaps that's why we shy away from him sometimes. He knows. He knows my thought. He knows my motive. To know God is, of course, the highest knowledge possible. I'm not trying about being, you know, stuck up about knowledge at all. The atheist claims that there's no God for us to know. The agnostic states that if there's a God, we cannot know him. But Paul met God in the person of Jesus Christ, and he knows that a man, a woman, a teen, a boy and girl, none of them can understand much of anything else without a knowledge of God. I need to be careful, but I'm going to say something. We had, I don't know what you called this person, and I'm going to say before I say it, they are made in the image of God, and they are valuable because they are made in the image of God, and my idea would be that they are not saved, so be they saved or lost, we need to love them. But we do need to love folks by praying for them and telling them the truth. The person who was the former health Pennsylvania official, nominated to be the Assistant Secretary of Health of the United States, transgender. I don't know if you had a chance, but I'm going to say it. If you didn't get a chance, you ought to take a look at Ron Paul, talk to him during his confirmation hearing, and saying to him, her, born male. Do you believe something like this? Do you believe that, or would you act if you are confirmed to make it possible for children to have before puberty, without parents' consent, I think he said both mutilation of genitalia and usage of drugs that would be opposite of the gender that God created you to be. Now, I'm not putting that very well. And this person said, well, if I am nominated, I will be glad to meet with you and talk about that. That person, Rachel Levine, is brilliant from the world's perspective and truly has great human knowledge. But that person is grossly ignorant of God and biblical truth. And our hearts ought to go out to that person. I don't want to be ugly and call him, her, him. I don't want to get into that. You know, your DNA is your DNA. You cannot change your sex. You can change secondary characteristics by shooting yourself up. And where do you think this is going to go 20 years from now when these folks have been shot up with this kind of stuff? What kind of mental, emotional problems? You cannot. The world can legislate it, say it's fine and everything else, but God says it's not. It's not because God is mean. God says you cannot sin and not have consequences for it. And there's forgiveness with God as well. But the brilliance of this world is ignorance when compared to God. And it is sad. And this is in part where our country is going. The believer, we need to grow in our knowledge of God, our intimacy with God, that we can be salt, that we can be light to a world that is lost, to a country that is lost and going to hell. To know God personally is salvation. To know God increasingly is sanctification. We can progress in becoming more like Jesus Christ. And then how about this? To know God perfectly is glory. That's glorification. When we see him, we shall be like him. We will not be him, but we shall be like him. No more sin. What a blessing. Until then, yes, we can get mad at a situation that I just described going on in that country. And you take a look and you Google it and all the networks are saying, oh, look at how Rand Paul, just homophobe and all this kind of thing. And folks, if you have your kids in public school, do know that this is being jammed down their throat. Get them out. Oh. Or be plugged in to know what they are being taught as fact. We live in perilous times. Since we're made in the image of God, the better we know God, the better we know ourselves, and the better we know each other. It's not enough to know God only as Savior. Yes, enough to go to heaven. I talked about that in Sunday school a little bit. Yes, all of our sins are under the blood, but it's the growth in Christ that folks can see. How come you don't fly off the handle like you used to? How can you return good for that evil that that person obviously said or did to you? I can't, but God can. We miss opportunities to witness because we like to coddle our sin and be disfellowshipped from God. We need to get to know God intimately as Father, as friend, as guide, as comforter, as strengthener, as illuminator, as we'll talk about here from the Word of God, as empowerer, to yield to him, to do, to be, to not do what we should not do, or what we should do, what we should do. And the more satisfying our spiritual lives will be. Look at verse 17 again, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, I and my Father are one, Jesus said, John 10:30, I believe it is. The God, who's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ? The Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all God, different functions, all God. All omnipotent, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Let's take a look and we'll just finish on this part here a little bit this morning. Spirit, what does that mean? The word here refers to one's disposition, influence or attitude. What is your attitude about Sunday school today? What is your attitude about prayer? What is your attitude about witnessing? What is your attitude about Bible reading? What is your attitude about your spouse? What is your attitude about the Word of God? What is your attitude about your growth and how your maturity is in the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's a way to put that. Are you teachable? In this verse, then, it means that Paul was praying that the Ephesians would have the attitude of wisdom, that they would have the wisdom and knowledge to understand how much they have because of their salvation. Read our spiritual bank book and access our spiritual wealth. You keep coming back to that. He prayed that God would reveal it to them and help them to wisely understand. What is wisdom? True wisdom is only found in God. God is the foundation for everything and everyone. And a life built on anything else is built on sand. We have folks, we have loved ones that say they are Buddhists. Buddha, he's dead and in the grave. And according to the word of God, in hell, if he didn't receive Christ as Savior. Are we burdened about this? How about you? Wisdom, true wisdom is only found in God. Let me ask you something. What have you learned about God this week? How has he refreshed you? How has he rebuked you? How has he comforted you? May I encourage you tonight? Call somebody up. Invite somebody over. Share what you've learned about God. Share what you've read in the Word of God. Share a prayer request. Pray one for sing God's praises. Lord willing, we will start again in April to do that more intentionally and things as a church body. Believers are able to discern the truth that has already been given, God's Word. And this Word enlightened. It grant unto you, or give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. We'll come back to that word, being enlightened. Enlightenment comes from the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the spirit of wisdom and revelation, ultimate wisdom and revelation. God makes it very clear with our natural minds, with our unsaved minds, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's why we should certainly not, we should not have a condemning spirit towards those that are lost, those that are changing their sex and don't think it's okay. Biblically, it's not okay. Those that are worshiping the stars or this or that person or whatnot that are dead in the ground, they don't know. They are the natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. God makes very clear to us. We need the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us from the Word of God and then gives us the wisdom to understand and apply it. He also gives us the enablement, the power. Later on here in this, it talks about power. I was thinking about this. The Holy Spirit shines his light of understanding in our hearts and in our minds. We think about the old picture or comic strip or whatnot, the light bulb moments. You know, I was thanking the Lord today that I get the privilege to preach the Word of God. In a way, I don't know if this is the right thing or whatnot, but I just thank God for the privilege to preach and teach the Word of God, why it forces me to be in the Word of God. Nothing like having to get up in front of people to try to teach or preach the Word of God, to get into it and things. It's not for everybody. But we have such resources at our disposal. Is it by chance the testimony that I shared to rat on me in Sunday school that I'm preaching about this? Is it by chance that whatever you're reading in your daily devotions that God has prepared for you exactly what you need to face, what he knows is coming that day that you don't? It's not by chance. God has a plan. Not just, and I'm not making light of it, to send the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. He has a plan for everything, every jot and tittle, every hair of your head, every circumstance. We, as Christians, have security. And it's found in Jesus Christ. The light bulb moments. God continues to turn on spiritual light as we grow in our understanding of him. The ESV had this note. The Holy Spirit works in Christians to give us insights into God and his word. He also works in us to inform us of the truth. Obviously, first and foremost, the knowledge, the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a perfect God, a perfect parent, tells us the bad news about ourselves. This is the truth. You're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. That's who you are. Tom McAvoy. And that's who you are. You know, I've not met someone. I can tell you that is true because God says it about you. Do we have that? Good. Let me tell you the good news now. God loves you. Don't you dare tell me or ask me, how can a loving God, da-da-da-da, because then I will dare tell you that that loving God sent his son to shed his blood for you. He loves you more than anyone else. Do not accept the filth of the world, the blasphemy from the world. understanding here. Another translation, the eyes of your heart being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding. Enlightenment comes to the heart of the believer. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Ephesians 1:18 there. We sometimes just think of the heart as the emotional part of man. Trust your heart. I hate that with all the stuff coming down. Just trust your heart. Follow your heart. It's like, My wife, she says, don't say it. I know. Don't preach to me. Because that's what the world pushes. Just follow your heart. What does God say about our heart? The heart of man is deceitful of all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the next verse, Jeremiah 17:9, that's that verse. Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, he knows our hearts. In the Bible, the heart means the inner man and includes the emotions, the mind, and the will. The inner man, the heart, has spiritual faculties that parallel the physical senses. And I've got, if you'd like, I could share all these verses with you. We don't have time to this morning. The inner man can see. Psalm 119, 18, John 3 and verse 3. The inner man, the heart, can see, can hear, can taste, can smell, can touch. And this is exactly what Jesus meant when he said to the people, they seeing, see not. What he was saying was they're seeing physically, but spiritually they're blind. They're hearing the precious word of God, but they're not hearing with their heart. They can regurgitate it to you audibly and things verbally, but it's not in their heart. It is not affecting their heart. It is obviously not affecting their will. And though their mind has got the verbiage, there's something desperately wrong. They seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. The heart is the issue. Our hearts are desperately wicked in and of themselves. We need God. The inability to see, and I put this on the handout there in a 2.1. We're only going to get to 2.1 today. The inability to see and understand spiritual things is not the fault of the intelligence, but of the heart. We've had some intensive, and they are not here, but they have been here, so don't try and think who they are. My wife and I have had some intensive discipling week upon week with some folks, and their final excuse was, I'm too dumb to know the word of God. And I very gently said, you ought not to say that because it is not true. Because God made you. He made you as you are on purpose. He's given you ability. But beyond that, if you are saved, he's given his Holy Spirit who indwells you, who knows exactly how to teach you perfectly and will not require more of you than what, by his grace and his power, you can accomplish in the life that is not yours but is his. And I wasn't mean when I said that. Do not see the arrogance and the pride in saying, I'm too dumb. Now, I was gentle, but it's like that is just the height of pride wrapped in what the world would say is humility. It is not. It is filthy, sinful pride. We are good at making excuses for ourselves. Life Application Bible, verses 16 and 17, Paul prayed that the Ephesians might really understand who Christ is. So as we finish up today, let's continue to study, to show ourselves approved of God. Workmen, they need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, this month of February, love and the world's perversion of that. How can you chasten your child? How can you discipline them? Don't you love them? Yes. I'm following God's example. Let's continue to study God, his word. What was it like on earth 2,000 years ago, Jesus, as he walked upon this earth? And let's get to know him intimately. Personal knowledge of Christ is life-changing as we get to know the way, the truth, and life. So here's a question to end with. Are you and I praying that God will give us wisdom to K-N-O-W, know all that he wants us to know about him in the Christian life? If we're still living, we haven't arrived in glory yet. We haven't arrived at sinless perfection. We have room to grow. There's a familiar hymn, Break Thou the Bread of Life. It's 293. Let's turn to it. We'll sing it in just a moment. Let me read one of the verses. It says this, "Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word." Now, sometimes preachers get a little bit nervous about some hymns like that. It's like, now, wait a minute, do we want to go beyond the sacred page to learn about God? And be careful. Okay? Because the devil sometimes comes as an angel of light. But then we need to measure everything by the word of God. But God's word is the very best commentary. So how about our theme verse for this year for 2000, what is this, 21? Stephen Valley Bible Church, Ephesians 3:19. "And to know the love of Christ, which what? Passes or surpasses knowledge." In other words, that God takes his word and the Spirit of God applies it to our lives specifically. And we know that in 2021, yesterday, when I sinned, I knew that I was being irreverent and speaking vainly to my God. I shared that in Sunday school. I can't read that Thomas William McAvoy spoke vainly yesterday in the Bible, but this is what that is talking about. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it perfectly to our lives because he loves me and does not want me to stagnate. Wants me to grow. And wants me to share it with you because I am no better than you. God's preaching to me too. Always. Thank him for it. "To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Experience a vital, intimate, personal relationship with your God. He loves you. He knows you better than anyone else. What's on your heart today? Whatever it is, the very best thing you can do for that situation or that person is to draw close to your God so they can perhaps see more clearly Christ in you, for he is the only hope of glory. Let's redouble our desire, our heart, our prayer to read our spiritual bank book, not legalistically, but with a heart, a mind, a will, saying as the old song says, "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, I'm thirsty. I want to hear, well done. I want to be used of you. I want to impact this world for Jesus Christ." 293, if there's a need on your heart, you want to come or stay afterwards for counsel or for prayer, won't you just do so? Let's stand as we sing, 293.